Marktugu Ben. Hello, friend, and greetings again in the wonderful name of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's our privilege to come to you once again to share with you a brief Bible study in the truth of God's Word. And I invite you, if you have time and opportunity, to get your Bible and New Testament and to turn with us to the book of John, chapter 15. We're continuing in our thoughts about the love of God, one of the benefits of justification. And remember that the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world, and that one who did that is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, who said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. John 6:33-35. The love of God. Oh, how rich and how pure is God's wonderful, wonderful love. And we've read in Romans chapter 5 concerning God, these various benefits that come through justification, that which every born-again believer has experienced through the work, the indwelling presence and work of the Holy Spirit of Christ. We've been discussing these benefits, and we're down to verse 5 of Romans 5. Hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. The love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. And so God's love, this is the love of God, not a phileo love, which is the human love, but it is God's love, agape love, which is involves an act of the will. It's not necessarily an emotion, but it has to do with our choosing to allow God to work through us and to manifest his love through us toward those that are unloving, toward those who may be unkind to us. And in John 15, the Lord Jesus explains how this comes about, how his love can be seen through us. In John 15:1, we read, Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman, the one who takes care of the vineyard. Verse 2, every branch in me that beareth fruit, beareth not fruit. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now what he is saying is that, notice verse 3, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. And then he clearly says in verse 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. And so here is the illustration that the Lord Jesus is giving here in John 15. As he was talking to his disciples, he said, I am the true vine. There is a false vine. That is Satan, who appears to be the source of help and strength to people, but actually he's a deceiver and he's a liar. He cannot give life to anyone. He's not really a one to help people. He only seeks to enslave and to bind them in the bondage of sin, to lead them into addictions that will control and govern their lives. But the true vine, the one who is the true source of life, is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Satan has devised many false religions that blind and bind people in bondage. He has devised many false religions. And I remember when we were serving the Lord in Hawaii, taking people that would come to visit to the different temples and showing them a little of the different religions that were there in the islands. And it was amazing how many people were in bondage and enslaved and were deceived. I remember a Buddhist priestess talking about how that heaven is like the peak of a great snow-crested mountain, and there are many paths that lead to the summit. You go your way, we'll go our ways. And she was speaking to a bunch of tourists from the United States. She said, you go your way, thinking that they were Christians, and we'll go our way, and in the future we'll all reach the summit together and spend eternity in blissful harmony. Well, it sounds nice and it sounds good, but it's just not true. It's a deception and it's a lie of the devil. How many people have been deceived by Satan into thinking that he is the vine that leads them to life eternal, when in reality he is deceiver and deceives the whole world, as we read in the book of Revelation chapter 12, and I believe it's verse 9, where the scripture says, he's that old serpent, the devil that deceiveth the whole world. He's a master of deception, beloved, but the true vine is the Lord Jesus Christ, the true source of life eternal, the true source of going to heaven when one dies, the true source of eternal life is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the true vine. And when we put our faith and trust in Him and accept Him as Savior, we become one of the branches of the true vine. He is our source of life. He is the one who works in and through us. And it's only as we draw upon His strength and in His enablement that we can love our enemies, that we can pray for those that despitefully use us and persecute us, that we can let them see Christ in and through our lives. As we draw upon strength and sustenance from the Lord Jesus Christ, we can't do it in our own strength. We cannot do it in our own ability. But Christ can do it in us and through us. And as Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20 points out, the Apostle Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. That is, I died in Christ Jesus when He died on the cross. I died to sin. And when He arose, I became alive to walk in newness of life. He did that for me. He was my substitute. He took my place. He paid the penalty for my sin. And through Him, I have the gift of eternal life. You recall, and I'm sure you know, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that whosoever would believe in Him should not perish and spend eternity separated in the lake of fire, but should have eternal life. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, we're told in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. That wonderful gift of eternal life, so that we who have eternal life have already passed from death into life through the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's proved by our love for the brethren. And so the love of God is spread abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit when we accept Christ as Savior. His agape love becomes ours, and we become a different person. And now we can be a vessel, a branch through which Christ's love can flow through us to a world that is about us, that is seeking and longing for love, and tries all kinds of things to find acceptance, which we call acceptance is a form of love, accepting someone, showing that we care for them and that we have compassion for them and that we have concern for them. And so we become a vessel through which the agape love of Christ can reach out to our neighbors and to our friends, to our loved ones that are lost, to be a witness to them, to pray for them, to encourage them and to help help them through their hard and difficult times, and to give encouragement and even help support them as they go through deep valleys of trial, that they might see the love of Christ flowing through us to them. And he says here, every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. That's what the vine dresser does. He trims off the leaves so that the vine itself will bring forth more fruit, the branches. He trims off the leaves so that the energy does not go to the flowering leaves, but that it goes to the production of fruit. And so there's times when the Lord has to prune our lives through trial, through testing, through difficulty, through hardship. That's why Solomon wrote in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. But in all thy ways acknowledge the Lord God, and he shall direct thy paths." He will guide our steps. So trust in him with all your heart, and don't lean to your own understanding, because when we try to figure out what's going on, it causes us to worry and to become fearful and to become afraid. And the Lord says, "I want you to trust me. I want you to rest in my care. I want you to rest in my love. I want you to know that these hard trials, these afflictions, these difficulties, this suffering that you're going through, I'm going to use it for my glory in your life," even as he did with Job in the Old Testament, that precious saint of God who suffered greatly, who lost everything that he had, and whose body was covered with boils so that he sat in ashes, and these friends came and accused him of sin when that was not the situation, but God was testing him and was using him as a testimony for his glory. And when Job prayed for his friends, the Lord restored him, gave him twice as much as what he had before, and used him far more greatly than he had before in writing that book of Job that describes the trial and the test and how God was glorified in and through it. We're the branches, and so sometimes God has to purge us, to cut off the leaves, and to make us more fruitful for his glory, honor, and praise. Tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, as we learn of God's faithfulness, so we can comfort others who go through trials and tests and difficulties and help them. Till next time, goodbye.